from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Our free agency special continues. It's Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, and Dan Devone with you. Free agency is an hour old, and nothing too crazy has happened just yet. The biggest signing of the day, per reports, James Harden returning to the Clippers for a two-year $70 million extension. It is a 1+1, so a player option for that second year for James Harden. Other news from the Clippers, by the way, Shams Charania reports that they are actively trying to trade Russell Westbrook, so keep an eye on that for the Clippers. It seems like they are set on reuniting James Harden and Kawhi Leonard. Paul George has been gaining traction with the 76ers. Those are some of the big storylines from around the league, but specifically, guys, for the Golden State Warriors, and we're with you for the next 2 hours up until 6 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. For the Warriors, a couple of points. First of all, they have waived Chris Paul. His $30 million option for this coming season is gone. It's off the books. But with that, while the Warriors do save a lot of money, they also don't have that salary slot to use in trades anymore. And there was one interesting trade that they turned down that we'll get to in just a second. The other news for the Warriors is kind of just reinforcing what we've already learned over the last couple of weeks. Klay Thompson and the Golden State Warriors have essentially accepted the fact that their time together is coming to a close. Klay Thompson is talking with the Lakers, the Clippers, the Mavericks, and the 76ers. The good news there, slight good news for the Warriors, is that he does seem interested in trying to make a sign and trade work, which means he would get a little extra money wherever he signs, and the Warriors would at least get something back in return and would not lose Klay for nothing. But guys, what is maybe most interesting, the most interesting single thing that has happened so far today, is the report from Chris Haynes. Before the Warriors decided to waive Chris Paul's $30 million contract option for this coming year, the Chicago Bulls called up Mike Dunleavy Jr. and the Golden State Warriors and proposed Zach LaVine to the Warriors for Chris Paul and Andrew Wiggins, and the Warriors said no, and then later on turned around and waived Chris Paul. Is that a mistake by the Warriors?
It's not a mistake if you're looking to go in another direction, as we have talked about. What it does is it speaks volumes of where they're headed, and I think we can all agree that Zach LaVine isn't going to be the difference between, isn't going to make you drive once again in a convertible down Market Street in a ticker tape parade and win another championship. So the Warriors, essentially, by not agreeing to that deal, are just simply not making a trade grand for the sake of making a trade, which I think that's what that would have been. Paul George, okay. While I was out on it, I can see with his style of play and Paul George could potentially be that guy that makes sense to these guys and fits in right in between, smack dab in between Draymond and Steph. Makes a lot of sense. Zach LaVine.
Only 29 years old, Dan.
Zach LaVine is not the answer. Zach LaVine is not only injury prone, but it's just, it's about the money and the finances. While it's difficult to swallow that pill with Paul George, it becomes even that much more hard when you're talking about Zach LaVine. And while I think with the Warriors, by not agreeing to that deal, again, to me, it's letting everybody know that it's time to go in another direction, that the dynasty has officially come to an end, and we are going to get young, we're going to get cost-effective, and we're going to do this another way.
Yeah, I would not have done that deal. I think the Warriors made the correct choice. Trading for Zach LaVine is a classic making a move to make a move. Like that's a move that people will tweet about, and people will like, and people will retweet, and people will quote tweet, and then you actually watch him play, and you wonder, what did they just do? Because you cannot do anything else if you make a move for Zach LaVine. And a couple of years ago, he was the second best player on a 46-win team, was an all-star, shot at north of 40% from three-point range. But since then, ironically, since he got paid, he has not really done much. And last year was an injury-prone season. You know, he generally plays in between 55 to 65 games a season. But, I mean, to have 43, 45, 48, the last one is a player option left on your books, I just think that the Warriors decided if it was not going to be a player that catapults them back into contention, which I don't think LaVine does. He might make you a little bit better offensively. I don't think he's a very good defender. I think he's exciting because he's a high flyer, but there's not much substance to his game, in my opinion. All he does is score. I don't think he helps the Warriors as much as people believe he would. Now, the one positive would have been you would have gotten off of Wiggins' contract, but you're basically just trading one albatross for another. And in fact, LaVine is much, much, much more expensive than Wiggins is.
Yeah, 43, 46, 49, 2 years. That last year is a player option. He is only 29 years old, though. And if it's only costing you CP3, who you turned around and waived anyway, so is worth nothing to you. And then Andrew Wiggins, I could see why it would be tempting. Maybe it would have taken the Bulls attaching a first-round pick to LaVine, and maybe that would have been enough to get you to do it. I think it's probably that third year, because as we've all been talking about, whether or not you feel like the Warriors can really choose to go towards the future while they still got these giant players under contract on the roster for the next 2 years, the third year, the player option for LaVine at nearly $49 million is probably the hang up there. If it was just 2 years of Zach LaVine and it lined up with Steph and it lined up with Steve Kerr, and you know, you got the player option for Draymond past that 1 year, but if it was just 2 years of Zach LaVine, I think the Warriors do that, and they don't really think twice about it. But the option, the potential of paying Zach LaVine $49 million after Steve Kerr is potentially out of here, maybe after Steph Curry is out of here, that was a hang-up. And that, you're right, that's an albatross contract, and that 1 year might have been enough to scare away the Warriors.
There also has to be fit involved. Well, Zach LaVine does a lot of good things, and he's a good player, certainly. The fit with the Warriors just never made sense. Much like that of Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram is a good basketball player, but doesn't fit in with the... Look, Brandon Ingram is more of a fit than Zach LaVine, but there has to be a fit. And when I say a fit, I don't just mean physically just, you know, moving without the basketball and rolling to the hoop and playing five out, what have you. But just, you know, Brandon Ingram is just emotionally not a good fit, and he stunk in the postseason, and the way he basically quit on his team in New Orleans. The visions of him just sitting on the end of the bench, disinterested, and wasn't hurt, just simply was put in the doghouse. That has a lasting effect on a lot of people, especially the executives like that of the Golden State Warriors and other, you know, NBA teams that potentially could or could not trade for one Brandon Ingram. And not that Zach LaVine has any problems with the team and management, and he's, you know, he's disruptive in the locker room, but fit goes a long way in terms of whether or not you think a basketball player is worthy of being part of what it is that you're trying to do. And I never felt that Zach LaVine, Brandon Ingram, whereas I think Lauri Markkanen and certainly, you know, Paul George make a lot more sense than those two gentlemen.
Yeah, I don't know about Markkanen, but Brandon Ingram and specifically Zach LaVine, they are they are black holes on the court. Like, they are ball stoppers. The ball gets to them, and then it goes up. They don't create for others. And I think one of the big reasons that people had an issue with Klay Thompson, specifically his shot selection this past season, is because sometimes he turned into a black hole. Is because sometimes he would take shots and shoot you out of possessions, potentially shoot you out of games. And I don't think they need to acquire more of those players. I mean, I think what makes the Warriors great is the fact that they move the ball as well as they do. And I also think that with Klay Thompson not being there, someone like Zach LaVine, he definitely is a better, I don't know, offensive option than Andrew Wiggins. But I don't know if he helps you much defensively. And right now, if I'm looking at the Warriors team, and there's still plenty of time to potentially, you know, make moves, I don't think there's anything big coming. But right now, their most viable path to the playoffs, to me, is through their defense. And I think they can get significantly better defensively because Klay was not a great defender. I know as much as Andrew Wiggins, you know, profiles as a good defender, he was not very good last year. Might be able to be better this season, or they might be able to move him, and then you elevate another player. But LaVine does not check the defensive box for me whatsoever.
I just don't know what the Warriors' other option is. They just don't have any other options, right? Like, you turned around after declining this trade, and you just waived Chris Paul. You got rid of your ticket to potentially getting a decent player, and I guess maybe that just goes to show that no one else was interested, and there wasn't anything on the table. But it was either, it seems like, as far as Chris Paul's return goes, as far as you getting anything in return for Chris Paul, it was Zach LaVine or nothing.
Well, you say that you don't know what other option they have. This is the other option. It's a rebuild. It's a reset. The other option is, if we can't get Paul George, and I don't know that this is necessarily true, but the other option that certainly had to be on the table and certainly that was discussed was, let's just get out from underneath this. This is a no-win no matter how you slice this thing up. It's an old basketball team, and to take on more dead weight.
LaVine would make you younger, 29.
But the money is an issue.
He's also going into year 11 of his career.
And it's about money at this point. And it's, again, I think that's a trade for the sake of making a trade. It gets back to, listen, what is it that we're going to do going forward? And one of the options has to be, let's invest in youth. Let's reassess this thing and see who we can get through the draft. Let's also shave a lot of this money that's been the 800-pound gorilla in the room for the last 5 years. And let's make it clear to everybody that we're going in another direction. That is a viable option. While we can, you know, to consider it that they're out of options, that's the option. Whether we want to recognize it or not, I think that that was something that was seriously considered going into
the agency. The guy that's interesting that I don't know if you'd consider him a miss, but they were linked to someone like DeJounte Murray. And, of course, he gets traded to New Orleans.
Talk about no defense.
I mean, but at least he's a guard. He moves the ball. He's not a terrible defender. He is significantly younger. And he's also not as hefty of a contract to acquire. So that was another guy that I thought might be interesting for the Warriors. I think at the end of the day, he's not someone that, you know, catapults you into contention, that category. But I think you're right, Grandy, that the one that confuses me is not picking up the Paul guarantee, because what that represented was optionality.
And you kept word
preaching and preaching and harping on this word and how important it was and how it sets you up to do so many different things. And to just get rid of the one chip that allegedly was going to help you get and court a big name player seems a little premature when you don't, at least to me, you still don't know what else is out there. I also think that there is a possibility of them keeping that slot and using it at the trade deadline next year. And we also know that Chris Paul is not a bad player. I mean, one of the reasons they started so hot at the beginning of last year, was 6-2 or something, is because Chris Paul was good off the bench. So, you know, maybe they want that spot to go to Pods. I don't know. But I do think that there was a missed opportunity there. And to me, I don't mind not trading it for LaVine. I don't even mind not trading it for Ingram or DeJounte Murray or whatever. But I do mind you just giving up on it.
Yeah.
Because it seems Chris Paul, that $30 million to me represents the hope to do something and swing a big move this offseason. That is now off the table, which is why, again, I think Paul George was their guy. However, if you are preaching optionality, this is the one avenue you have to actually get there. And they gave up on it.
Yeah, I agree. I think you said it very well, and I'll put it this way. If you are Stephen Curry, and he's obviously involved in all these high-level conversations, the Warriors don't do anything without the approval of Steph Curry, at least you would think. If you're Steph Curry, and you know that the Warriors have a decision to make on Chris Paul's contract, and if you're just joining us, the Warriors waived Chris Paul just before free agency opened about an hour and a half ago now. They waived Chris Paul's $30 million contract for this coming season, meaning he's off the books. He's a free agent. The Warriors got off of a lot of money, but by doing that, as Evan just said, they lost a lot of optionality. They don't have the ability to send Chris Paul and all his money off on a trade and get someone of equal or similar value back in return. If you're Steph Curry and the Warriors approach you, Mike Dunleavy, Joe Lacob, Steve Kerr, whoever it is, approach you and say, we got an offer from the Bulls, Zach LaVine, and we're giving up Chris Paul and Andrew Wiggins. What do you feel about that, Steph? Okay, maybe Steph says yes, maybe Steph says no. Whatever his answer is there is not my point. Okay, say they say no, and they all agree no on Zach LaVine. And then they turn around and they say, all right, Steph, we're now just going to waive Chris Paul. Sorry. How does Steph Curry feel about the Warriors getting rid of their best chance at getting a difference maker in here? Is he okay with that? Hey, I find it, and I know you were talking about this earlier, I find it hard to believe that he's okay with just riding off into the sunset on a team that doesn't really have a chance to be legitimately competing again.
Oh, he's definitely not okay with it. And Draymond Green certainly is not okay with it. This is what it is at the Warriors. And I don't know this for a fact. We don't know that this is a team that is looking to rebuild. But when you continually say that they're not exercising options, I think they are. And this is the other option, which is to get rid of these big salaries, to get out from underneath the luxury tax, which is a serious thing. If you were to believe, Joe Lacob has been preaching this for more than a year, and now it's come to fruition. I think you get to a point where you're like, you're trying to squeeze something out of a rock here. You're trying to put the proverbial square peg into a round hole. There is no off-ramp. There is nowhere to go. There is nothing that is going to put the Golden State Warriors back in relevancy as far as being a contender for an NBA championship. It ain't LaVine. I'm sorry to tell people. It's not Paul George. I know a lot of people were in on him. It's none of those options, that some of which they exhausted. There's nothing out there. And CP3 was not going to bring you back some player or a nugget that was going to get Steph Curry that title. So therein lies the opportunity and the other option that I'm talking about, where sometimes your hand is forced to go in this direction of like, all right, let's get underneath the tax, let's get young, and let's, yes, I know we hate it, it's a four-letter word, but let's rebuild. That is a real option, which they're exercising as of right now. But that could be premature because who knows? Could be another shoe that might proverbial drop as far as the Warriors dealing Kuminga and a host of young players to bring in somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was going to say, they also do still keep their biggest trade chip, which is Jonathan Kuminga. They still do own all their first-round picks from here on out, which is actually, I think, except for like 2030, but it's like lightly protected for Washington. So that they do have trade assets to move. So I don't think that going all in is necessarily off the table. Like, I think if there's another star that is out there that is acquirable, that they will make a huge push for them. And whether it's this season, whether it's next summer, that's not what people want to hear, though.
No.
Like they don't want to be sold on this, oh, well, you know, just the pipe dream of, I don't know, Giannis is like the guy that always comes, oh, can we go get Giannis, or can we go get Embiid, or can we, like, no, in all probability, no, you can't. Or you're going to have to hope that person just gets so pissed off at their own situation, a la Klay Thompson, that they just want to get out just to get out, and that they demand a trade. And I just don't think that it's good business to lean into that possibility or to sell that pipe dream to people as opposed to actually trying to work in the here and the now. Like, to me, again, I just think selling the future of a franchise is because you have nothing to sell in the present. Like, that's what teams do. Oh, well, don't worry, we got young guys coming up. Like, yeah, I've been hearing that for the San Francisco Giants for the last 5 years. I'm sorry. Sell me on the present. Don't sell me on the future.
And what do the Warriors have to sell people on the present?
Steph Curry. That's it.
It's going to be interesting if indeed they go down this road, how Steph Curry feels about this. You're right, Gran. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And as much as I believe that Steph isn't going anywhere, I think that he is ensconced in part of San Francisco. I don't want to go through that diatribe again, but I firmly believe that he wants to be with one team, and he's very aware of the history and that legacy that is Steph Curry. But that doesn't mean he's not going to be happy. It doesn't mean, to your point, that he's going to agree or is down with any of this, or that he won't be somewhat of a problem as far as continually, well, this isn't in his nature, but you know, there's all the chance that he could be somewhat disruptive when it comes to his relationship with Dunleavy and company going forward. It doesn't mean that he's going to enjoy this. I would think that there has to be, and I don't know how you do this if you're the Golden State Warriors. How do you have this conversation with them if indeed this is the path that they've chosen?
That's a good question, because I think Steph kind of suffers from this idea that because he's such a nice guy, and he goes out and he signs autographs for every single, you know, little kid who's waiting for him, and he's friendly to everybody. He's a real ambassador of the game. And as you said, it's not just about, you know, playing for the Warriors. It's about uplifting, you know, an organization and uplifting an area and helping out those less fortunate. He is one of the gentlest giant superstar that has ever, you know, come through this area. You make that case without a doubt.
Roam the earth.
And I think because of that, he suffers from this outward belief that he, for some reason, isn't like as fiercely competitive as the other superstars. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because he's such a nice guy and the best person out there, you feel like He doesn't have that ruthless bone in his body. You know what I mean? But he is so incredibly competitive, and he wants nothing more than to win. I feel like that's, we get misled. Steph Curry is as competitive as they come, and I find it hard to believe that he's sitting back watching how the Warriors are going this offseason is like, yeah, whatever. I feel like he'd want them to take a big swing. If Zach LaVine's your only option, get me Zach LaVine. I need someone that can score 20 points next to me. There's no one else that can right now. I feel like it's a little bit misleading to just assume Steph's like, I get it. Like, go out and help me. I need help here. And they're not bringing in anyone to help him.
Well, but again, they tried to help him, and he was on board with Paul George.
He was not on board with Zach LaVine.
I don't think Curry wants. I mean, maybe he wants to play with a 20 point per game score. I find it hard to believe. Like, Curry is competitive. You're right. I think he's also smart. I think he also understands basketball at a pretty high level, higher than anybody in this room. I can't imagine he envisions himself alongside. Like, he'd make it work because he's that great. But in a perfect world, my running partner is Zach LaVine.
Yeah, but this isn't a perfect world.
Yeah, but I would rather play and try and see if these young guys got something. In my opinion, I would rather see if some of these young guys got it than Zach LaVine.
Does Steph Curry care enough about the Warriors organization post his playing days? Does that factor into his decision at all? Or does all he care about is when he's a Warrior?
Yeah, and that's right? Not making him selfish. Athlete.
So
like
all
that.
He cares about is as long as he's a Warrior. Then why wouldn't he want Zach LaVine? Because the reason I feel like Zach LaVine is not a good decision for the Warriors is because of that 30 here, or maybe it's after Steph is gone and it handcuffs you financially in the future. But if you're Steph Curry, I don't care about that.
It also means you can't bring in anybody else, though. Like you can't get any other help. Like it better be Zach LaVine. And then once you find out, I think very quickly, that he's not that guy, well, then, yeah, then you are stuck. Like, well, then you literally can't add any other player. Like, right now, again, they still have They're mid-level exception. They can still go out and sign certain vet players. They can swing a sign and trade deal for Klay Thompson. Like they're I'm not saying that they're going to reform this roster into a contender, but to me, if you swing and miss on Zach LaVine, well, then you are stuck for the remainder of Steph's career. And then you might get to a situation where he would ask for a trade because there's literally nothing else that you can do.
Maybe.
I wouldn't be willing to bet at all for Zach LaVine. That's just me. I know it's a move and he can score a lot of points. I'm sorry. Zach LaVine ain't it. I don't want him on this team.
We're also under the assumption that Steph is in on all of these moves.
He's got to be.
Well, listen, he wanted Bradley Beal a couple of years ago and the Warriors said no. I don't. Sometimes, Ev, Grant, that when it comes to Joe Lacob and you're a business tycoon and Dunleavy, business can be just cold. Like some of this is just straight up business. And when it comes to saving money, getting under luxury tax, a lot of this is just simply, my man, we love you, but we're checking your emotions out the door and we're doing what it is that we need to do. That, yes, you would love to have him on board with all of the decision making, but sometimes business is just a very, it's a cold reality, especially when you have to do what it is that the Warriors are doing. And I don't know that necessarily that Steph, as a franchise and the powers that be, that he has to be included in on all of those decision makings.
So we got to hit a break here in a sec, but
we also have some breaking news on the other side.
Okay. It seems like you're implying perhaps that the Warriors either made a decision without Steph's approval or they just straight up went against what he wanted?
They made this decision to maybe let him know, and it's not sitting well with Steph Curry, but it's a decision they have to do regardless. Yeah. Again, because it gets back to business.
All right, we got
to
hit a break. We got breaking news coming up on the other side. Also, Robin, I see you on hold. Stay there. We'll get to you coming up on the other side as our free agency special continues on 95.7 The Game. We're with you until 6. So an hour and a half more here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, Dan Devone with you. More coming up on the other side right here on 95.7 The Game.
Back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Our free agency special continues here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, Dan Devone with you. We teased some breaking news before we went to break just a couple of minutes ago. Let's pay off that tease. It is a domino in the free agency market, and it's a Klay Thompson domino. It is not Klay Thompson, but it is a guy that plays his position. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, previously of the Denver Nuggets, intends to sign a 3-year, $66 million deal with the Orlando Magic.
There you go.
So KCP to the Magic, KCB. KCP has been rumored a lot of places, including returning to Denver, including the Philadelphia 76ers. But he goes to the Orlando Magic, which is big for the Klay Thompson market, because maybe you could potentially now add Denver into that market. And I know Orlando was kind of early in the offseason, the hot spot for a Klay Thompson destination. It seemed a little unlikely entering the day. And now with KCP guys reportedly going to Orlando, it takes Orlando out of the running for Klay Thompson officially, I would think. But Denver is now possible for Klay Thompson.
I mean, I think we talked about this yesterday, Dan. I would love to see Klay in Denver. I think he could really help them. And he would play. I mean, I know everyone wants to think that, you know, you play your best basketball with Curry, but without much else outside of Curry, the place to play easy basketball right now is with the Nuggets. I mean,
you just sit and launch, catch and shoot, bro.
He's the fourth option.
Michael Porter talked about that.
Or he would be.
Michael Porter Jr. talked about this is the most perfect fit, and he takes a lot of heat because he shoots too much. But he's like, that's all I'm told to do. Like, this is nirvana. Like, I just sit on a wing and I wait for the Joker to draw a crowd, and then he kicks to me and I shoot. That's my world. Can you imagine Klay Thompson stepping into that role, that inside-out game in Denver?
Well, there's also a relationship. Michael Malone was an assistant with the Golden State Warriors the year that Klay Thompson came into the league.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
2011. So from 2011 to 13, they had a relationship. There's certainly something that could be brewing there. I think also the KCP signing is significant from the standpoint because it continues to move in the direction of people are not paying substantial amounts of money for shooters.
I think it's a substantial amount.
$22 million per year, 3 for 66.
I don't think that's a ton of money. Well, Clay Thompson was just making 43.
Well, Clay Thompson was 6'7".
But KCP might be one of the best two-way guards in the league.
He is. KCP.
Like he shoots 41% from
three. Let's not get things crooked here. He's a better player than Klay Thompson.
Absolutely.
And while Klay Thompson may take his spot, let's not conflate things and think they're on equal footing here.
But Klay Thompson got a 2 for 48 offer last offseason. Yeah. KCP didn't even get 24 per year. Now, I mean, I think part of it is because he got the player option. He got the third year. But I don't think that shooting, even though it is a premium in the league, like you need shooting to be successful, I think people are also looking around and saying, we can find players that can shoot. Like, there's plenty of players who can shoot the three ball. We don't have to pay him $25, $30 million.
They're becoming the running backs of the NFL? A
little bit. I mean, again, 40 players last year shot 40% or north from three-point range.
You know who's glad to see KCP?
You have to be able to shoot now.
Leave the conference is Steph Curry. KCP locked him up, man. Go look at Steph's numbers against the Nuggets. KCP enjoyed just ball hawking him end line to end line. And Steph never could get off on KCP last night. Steph probably would, you know, he'd never admit this, but KCP did a great job on defending him last year. You know, think of it just for a second, KCP. I know the Lakers won that title in the bubble, put an asterisk next to it. But before LeBron came in and said, you got to go, you got to go, you got to go, think about who that team was and what it was comprised of. KCP, Julius Randle, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Kyle Kuzma. And LeBron cleared them all out, saying, yeah, get out of here. You guys are too young. You have no future. I just think it's interesting. It's neither here nor there.
KCP won with them in 2020, and then he won with the Nuggets just a couple of years ago. He's one of two players, the other being Jrue Holiday, to win two championships this decade. That's it.
Mm. Yeah, 2020s. Like one and a half, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the bubble one. What does it really count for?
Well, you know what? I hate saying this, but the Lakers...
just messing.
I hate doing this, But, you know, defending the Lakers. But the Lakers did have the best record prior to the pandemic. So.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
The KCP to the Orlando Magic, 3 years, $66 million. That is a major domino in free agency and specifically in the Klay Thompson market, because the report was a little more than an hour ago now, when free agency is about an hour and a half old, and we're with you until 6 here on 95.7 The Game. The report was that Klay will have conversations with both LA teams, the Clippers and the Lakers, the Mavericks and the 76ers early in free agency. I would imagine Denver is probably calling Klay's agent if they haven't already, because that seems to be a smooth fit, a nice connection in with Nikola Jokic and company in Denver. Maybe Klay is adding one more team to his list. But it does feel like, guys, we're at a little bit of a wait and see period in free agency, because we're trying to figure out where Paul George is going to go. And the Sixers aren't going to pull the trigger on a Klay Thompson decision until they know about Paul George, good or bad. And it almost feels like we're at a point now, 1 hour and nearly 37 minutes in, where we're just kind of waiting for the major Paul George domino to fall, and then everybody else, including Klay Thompson, might follow after that.
I don't think Paul George is going anywhere today. I think Paul George is going to talk to L.A., and then he's going to speak to Philadelphia, and then he's going to talk to Orlando. Now, I don't know if Orlando's still in the sweepstakes. I'm assuming they are, but he's going to do that in the next couple of days before making any sort of decision as to where it is that he's going to sign as a free agent. And again, I do think that the Los Angeles Clippers are still very much in the hunt, and it may not be true for Klay Thompson, but I think it was a lot of posturing, a lot of bluster on the part of Paul George, but I do think that he still wants to be in LA. It's just, how do we get around, or how do we get our arms around that final year, that fourth year?
Well, speaking of getting younger, you know, Denver's an interesting location. I'm not sure if it would be just a free agent signing outright, because with KCP, who's now gone, but they had almost $190 million on their books. So that also might be a sign and trade candidate for the Warriors. And if I'm them and you're thinking about getting younger, you know, they were already willing to include like Zeke Nagy in a deal potentially to the Clippers that fell apart due to, I guess, draft capital. Yeah. But there are a couple of good young players on the Denver Nuggets that, because of how good their starting five is, don't really have a lot of runway to improve
Christian Brown?
To play. Well, Christian Brown actually might start. Like, I also could see Klay Thompson coming off the bench for Denver. I don't think they'd come off of Christian Brown, but someone like Julian Strother, Peyton Watson. Again, these aren't big names, but these are good young players that have played minutes for a team that is successful. So but I don't know if you'd be able to get all of them.
Are they good players? I mean, there's a reason why I think the Nuggets had such a bad bench, and the fact that they were so...
Well, they're all like 21 and 22 years old.
I know. I don't know if any of those players do anything for me. And there's a reason why their bench was so bad. Nobody jumped out to me once you got past, you know, their starting five. And there's a reason why, you know, the Nuggets really struggled.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly weren't as deep as say, Minnesota. But, I mean, when you get to the playoffs, it's all, you're not playing nine dudes.
But really, I mean, if you think about the Warriors missing out on Paul George, and it seems, at least as of right now, not even 2 hours into free agency, that there isn't going to be another shoe that's going to drop. There is no big name coming to the Golden State Warriors. Are we really getting excited over a mid-level with this team?
Well, what else do you have?
I know, but I'm just saying, or a sign and trade with Denver or the Lakers. We're not talking about players that are going to be moving the needle.
The path for you to get the best player in here is trading Jonathan Kuminga. It is signing someone with the mid-level, which is just a tick under $13 million, and it's who you get back from Klay on a potential sign-and-trade. Those are the ways you do it. You package other people with Kuminga, obviously. If you want to get more money, you throw Wiggins in there, but they reportedly didn't want to move off of both Wiggins and Kuminga to get Paul George in here, and they apparently really wanted Paul George. So I don't know if you do both Wiggins and Kuminga. If it's Wiggins and Moody traded for somebody else, how much value is that worth? Who can you even get back for something like that? Are you willing to trade draft picks to go out and get somebody? I don't really know. But of all the options to go out and improve the team, the most obvious and the easiest one is the mid-level. Everything else is, and on the Klay Thompson sign and trade,
who are you really getting back? Julian Strother, right? Josh Green, like, who are you getting back? Is that going to turn your fortunes around? No. Are they a quality piece? Maybe. We'll see. And then a $13 million signing. Okay, decent. That's certainly a rotation piece. And then it's the only other way to get better is by giving up your quality pieces, your pieces that have value and that make money for somebody else. Those are the three options that they have.
But that's why the Chris Paul guarantee is still perplexing to me. And it does signal that they, like, the goal was to shave salary, was to get off of money. Because right now, the things that you have that you can deal as a, your best trade chip as a player is Jonathan Kuminga. Your best trade chip as a contract previously was Chris Paul. And then you have a full bevy of first round picks that you can dole out.
And the filler, money filler in there is Wiggins.
Sure, or somebody else. I mean, it could be Clay in a sign and trade. I don't know. But my point is, you, those three things are what you have. Like, I mean, Wiggins is a filler, but he actually deflates a deal in my mind. Like, I don't think people want him. You just need him, I guess, to make things work. But the point is that Chris Paul, if you're going to get rid of everything, doesn't it feel like they would have done that? Like, again, the whole one way or another thing, they're just kind of playing it down the middle. And that's why I don't know what the direction is right now. I figure if you're still going to try and use Kuminga in a deal, whether it's this offseason or down the line, well, then you would want to keep Paul. So maybe it also confirms their allegiance to Kuminga. And maybe the next big thing we hear from the Warriors is that they've extended him to a 4-year, $120 million contract.
Maybe. Good point.
That could be the big thing too. Because at this point where I'm at, if you are, you know, it's in the past. They're done. Chris Paul's gone. $30 million off the books. The dumbest thing they could do at this point is trade Jonathan Kuminga right now. The dumbest thing they could do is to include him in a package for a trade to another team to bring back. I don't even care if it's Lauri Markkanen or Ingram, whoever the best guy is out there. They're not getting Paul George. That was their guy. You cannot trade Jonathan Kuminga now this summer. You can't do it, in my opinion.
Kuminga's value was paired with Chris Paul's contract in order to get you something of value back. Right? Like,
yeah.
The trading Kuminga in what you're saying only made sense is if you're getting a legit star back in return. And the way you were getting a legit star back in return was via Chris Paul's $30 million.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think it goes towards the youth movement. And I think the guy that spearheads all of that is Jonathan Kuminga. In a weird way, do you got something?
No, you're good.
I think in a weird way, this is sort of investing in Jonathan Kuminga. And this is letting everybody know that we're talking about going in another direction and leaning in on the youth. Well, that youth movement begins with, you know, your poster child, that being Jonathan Kuminga. And that's where we're at. It's player development is a real thing. And developing Jonathan Kuminga continues in year, what is it, three or year four. The development of Trayce Jackson-Davis and Pajemski and Moody into the new shooting guard, whatever, that's what it is that you're looking at. That's where they're leaning into as of right now. Big money, contracts, getting out from underneath, all of that is what they're trying to do. What I find peculiar moving forward is two things. Wiggins and Draymond Green. It doesn't make sense what it is that I just laid out if both of those players are on this team next year. And the Draymond Green scenario, it doesn't make sense if you're headed in down that road to have Draymond Green, because there's no way in hell he's buying into that.
But I think the whole reason why you detached yourself from Klay Thompson this offseason is because you didn't feel like he moved the needle that much in terms of winning. Like, you may not be as good from, you know, 3-point shooting, but you might be able to take a step at that position defensively. And I think there are ways to survive losing Klay Thompson. I don't know. You could go sign a couple of 3-point shooters. And there are a few out there. We can get into that if you want. But I think for me, I'm with you on Wiggins. And I do think they're going to try everything in their power to move his contract this offseason for someone who is perhaps more consistent, for someone who's on a shorter deal, and someone that, well, just quite frankly, isn't Andrew Wiggins. But Draymond Green, I mean, I don't like the way that he comports himself, but he impacts winning basketball. So I don't think that they're looking at this season now, even without Chris Paul to deal, and saying, well, we're not a playoff team. I still do think they look at this team and say, all right, if these guys improve and we can find a couple of vets, you know, Klay Thompson's sign and trade can help us acquire this player. Like, we can still be a 46-win team.
That's fair
and
enough.
Draymond Green has a lot to do with that.
That's fair enough. I think that you really have to sell Draymond Green on that, though. Again, Draymond Green plays for winners, and he plays for titles.
I don't have to sell Draymond on anything. Dude, you got yourself suspended the first year we gave you a $100 million deal.
You do in this.
You should be thanking us.
You do in this regard that he can check out. He's a guy that, as good as he is, and when he's bought in, I mean, he's as good as it gets as far as defense, intensity, energy, all that stuff that he brings. But he'll also go the other direction on you. He'll also, you know, he'll adios you. And I mean, he's not going to load manage and not play. He'll play, but that intensity will not be there.
It's an extreme comp, but do you remember the season that led to COVID? 2019-2020, when Steph got hurt early in the season.
And he checked out, essentially.
And there was no Klay, because Klay was hurt, recovering off of the torn ACL.
He wanted nothing to do with that team.
And then Steph was out for a big part of the season, and Draymond was healthy, like, the whole year. But you're right, you could just tell. And that's obviously an extreme example, because that team was one of the worst teams in the NBA, and it led them to picking James Wiseman, and we know how it all went from there. But you could tell Draymond was checked out, not only in individual games.
He admitted it.
But, yeah, he admitted it. But throughout the course of the whole season, like, there was a point where he was like, all right, like, what is this worth it anymore? And in that situation, I guess I could kind of agree. Like, you're starting Glenn Robinson and Sky Bowman and Alec Burks and Willie Cauley-Stein. Like it, that's a little different.
Willie Trill.
It's a little different. But you're right. There is kind of that tendency, I think, for Draymond to you know, take a status test and, like, all right, we're on pace to be a 30-win team. Okay, like, am I gonna really give it my all? I'm not saying they're gonna win 30 games next year, but if that's the direction that it goes, that is, I think, potentially a concern.
Well, to Ev's point, the one thing that you can't envision is just sort of the personality of a team once you start a season, and there could be buy-in if he recognizes that. You know what? I like these young players. I like Trayce Jackson-Davis. I like these new kids. And we have an outside chance of getting to the playoffs. There could be buy-in on that level where he's like, it's going to be a struggle, but follow me, fellas. I can get us there. But if this is clearly a rebuild in that you're losing and you're losing at a consistent pace, I don't know how you keep him involved, or how you keep his attention for, you know, 6 months and 82 games.
I would agree, but I also think that as currently constructed, he's probably the second most important player right now in terms of winning.
So, he was really good this last year. I mean, we could be honest about that. When he was playing,
they won 60% of the games that he played.
Yeah,
like they were a good team when Draymond Green was on the court and when he was engaged. I think, number one, he will be more engaged next season, because I don't think he can afford to do what he did last year. Like, he might get suspended for an indefinite amount of time that could be longer than last year if he does anything stupid. So he'll do something stupid, but punching somebody, I would hope, is not in the cards. Like, he might lose his career. So it's finally gotten to that point for me with Draymond. But I think with basketball, I don't know if you necessarily have to sell him on this season, because they're not a championship team right now, but I also don't think they're a 15-win team. And he checks out of 15-win teams. He might check out of 20-win teams too, but I don't think he's going to check out of a 40-45-win team, knowing that there's an outside chance to get into the postseason. I just think that's overdoing it a little bit.
Let me ask you this, and then we're going to go out to the phones. Rob and I see you. We'll get to you in just a couple of minutes. I obviously, it seems like the Warriors are banking on improvement of Kuminga and Moody and Pajemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis. Do you think it's feasible? It's relatively fair. It is almost what we should expect, that group of four youngsters, Kuminga, Moody, Trayce Jackson-Davis, and Brandon Pajemski, are going to improve enough to where that offsets the loss of Klay Thompson and Chris Paul? And that's what we're looking at right now. Are those four collectively going to be able to be good enough to outweigh what you're losing with Klay and Chris Paul? Because that's what it comes down to at this stage in order for the Warriors to either be a better team, a worse team, or stay the same.
For me, yes. And it's one, because I think together they can improve enough to help the Warriors. But also, I can't expect Klay Thompson to go in the other direction. Like, I think that he's probably getting worse if he stays in Golden State. Now, with a team like Denver, or maybe even Philadelphia, I think that he could be more efficient. And I don't know if he comes off the bench. Like, that's plausible. But with the Warriors, again, two seasons ago, he was able to get you 50. Last season, he was barely able to get you 30. I don't know why all of a sudden that would flip. Same with Chris Paul. He's going to be 39 years of age next year. They were able to survive without him for an extended period of time. Why? Because someone like Pajemski was able to emerge. And defensively, towards the end of the season, Trayce Jackson-Davis was able to emerge. So I think combined, those four players, their improvement could make up for whatever next year's hypothetical production would be of Klay Thompson and Chris Paul.
Here's a real scenario that the Warriors could be looking at. When Steph Curry comes off the floor, because he can't play all 48 minutes, and Draymond Green's off the floor, let's just say Steph's off the floor. I'll just take one guy. Steph's got to get rest, right? We agree that he's going to get his minutes at the end of that first quarter?
I gotta, yeah.
All right. I mean, he should probably play less minutes as he gets older. Well, simply
put, who scores the ball for you?
You hope it's Jonathan Kuminga.
Jonathan Kuminga's out of the game. Or can those two not sit on the bench simultaneously? I mean, do you see what I'm saying here? Because they ran through this last year. Who are you going to put the ball in the round cylinder?
Strength in numbers. I mean, seriously, like you just have to hope it's somebody on a different night.
You need those four. You hope those four guys are better than who they were last year and that they emerge as those potential guys.
Like, ideally,
the choice you have.
End of the season for a successful, let's say, playoff bound Warriors team. Let's say they're like a 7 or 8 seed or something. Ideally, their figures look like Curry, 25 to 30 points per game, and then like four dudes in double digits.
Oh, no, that's ideal.
I think that's pretty much what you're hoping. I don't know who they're going to be.
On their best nights.
Well, it could be Josh Green if they get him back from
Dallas.
You know
what your response reminded me of? Did you see Rob Pelinka when he was asked about the Bronny trade? And he spent about 20 minutes talking about the first father and son duo in the NBA and LeBron James and what it means to the franchise. And eventually he had to talk about Bronny and why he took him in the second round. And he went on with a huge pause and said, he's a high character guy. Anytime somebody starts with high character, and he's a hard worker. And that was about the extent of it. Like, there was not anything. And every second rounder has some skill set, right? Quinn Post
can shoot the ball. A big who can shoot.
Oh, like, God. Everybody will talk about a second round pick. He couldn't even sugar Bronny. He's got a high character and he works hard. And did I mention that he has a high character?
Great guy in the locker room. Just a great group of guys.
There was nothing he could say in terms of his shooting, his passing, his ball handling, the fact that he's undersized. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's going to be a similar tone to whatever the post-free agency press conference is with Mike Dunleavy. It's going to be, we exhausted all options and we really made a run at Paul George, but package just wasn't quite right. We didn't want to give up what they wanted, and we were prepared to offer the max, and so we decided to just kind of go in a different direction, and everything's still possible at this point. We believe in this team, and we're really set on not mortgaging our future. And then
I think he can sell it on, because
you could sell anything, but
because people love new and they love kids. Right. And you could say, look, we've exhausted just about every option when it came to our veterans. We've made it very clear to everybody in this room that we wanted to get under the luxury tax, that money was an issue with this team. We're now going all in on these young basketball players. We think it's going to be an exciting season. I can't wait to see the next step that Pajemski is going to take in the NBA. We think Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to be such a further, he's going to be a highly improved basketball player. And to go along with Draymond Green's leadership, And Steph Curry being a part of this, we think we're in for a very exciting season that's going to be primarily about these young basketball players. And this is a new future for this team. Now go spend $500 to sit in the upper bowl.
That's the direction it's heading for sure.
I mean, everybody loves a newborn baby until it pisses itself. It's like until they ask you to clean its diaper, and then you're like, oh, well, actually, this thing isn't as cute as I thought it was.
Let's go out to the phone lines as we continue here on our free agency special, 888-957-9570. Up next is Robin in San Francisco. What's up, Robin? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Nothing too much. I just wanted to say, most of you guys covered it, and what sparked me to call was Dan's comment about Brandon Ingram quitting on a team. But you know what? You don't shame Draymond like that. I know you guys just covered it, but it's always an escape. He quit on his team. So what if he was playing with a bunch of scrubs? So he get paid to do that. So, and then not only that, I don't believe that Brandon Ingram would fit because of his style of play. Whoever was talking about style, I believe that. You just don't plug somebody in because you think they're good. That's a sign of desperation. But I don't think he was going to come play with Draymond Green either, because the way Draymond Green called, he knew he wasn't going to do nothing. That's why he talked bad. As far as I'm...
Sorry, you can't be spelling words.
Is that why she got run?
Yeah.
Robin used one word, and it was desperation.
Was that the word?
Well, she used a different word. She said,
sorry.
You can't just bring in a player because you think they're good if you're worried they won't fit. That reeks of desperation. Aren't the Warriors desperate? They're desperate. They have to be desperate. You got no other choice.
They don't seem like it.
They should be.
No, but see, Grant, you have not had the come to Jesus moment yet. Like, these ideas of being out of options and desperate, that's not where they're at.
Yeah, tanking for Cooper Flagg is an option. I get it, Dan, okay? I don't want my team to be bad.
Well, we're going to see if we can get
they're
Jesus.
Gonna be bad.
We're going to see if we can get Jesus at 5 o'clock, but then we got
to
hit a break.
Yeah, time to go. When we come back, we got more to get into. An hour left. We're with you until 6 o'clock. Any free agency news breaks, we'll be on top of it. We are keeping an eye out for Klay Thompson. He's meeting with a handful of the teams. Maybe the Denver Nuggets now in on Klay because KCP, formerly of Denver, has signed a 3-year deal with the Orlando Magic. We'll keep an eye on everything related to Klay. Chris Paul is a free agent as well. Where do the Warriors pivot to? More on that on the other side here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.